Her home. She tweeted this week, quote, "We are writing a new history for Colombia. In the vice presidency, we will accompany President Gustavo Petro in the duty to create a government that respects life, peace, justice, and social equity," unquote. Gustavo Petro is running in part on a platform calling for a ban on new fossil fuel exploration. Fossil fuels make up more than half of Colombia's exports, and the country has long been among the most dangerous countries in the world for environmentalists and activists, with at least 145 murdered last year alone. You can also see our interview with Francia Marquez in Spanish, as well as our daily headlines in Spanish by going to democracynow.org, click on Espanol, or go to democracynow.org/ES. Oh, special thanks to Charlie Roberts, and a very happy early birthday to Nermeen Sheikh. Well, Democracy Now! Has an immediate opening for a news writer-producer. Visit democracynow.org/jobs to find out more and apply immediately. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Tarasena, Tammy Warnoff, Camille Baker, Charina Nadura, Sam Alkoff, Tamari Astudio, John Hamilton, Ravi Karan, Hani Masood, Mary Conlin, and Juan Carlos Davila. Our executive director is Julie Crosby. Special thanks to Becca Staley, John Randolph, Paul Powell, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Noguera, Hugh Grant, Dennis Moynihan, David Prude, and Dennis McCormick. I'm Amy Goodman. Stay safe.
This show your support for cable programming by picking up the special limited edition 2022 Bluegrass Marathon t-shirt. Flaunt your love of bluegrass and cable with this stylish royal blue and neon yellow tee. Get yours now at kboo.fm/bgshirt. That is kboo.fm/bgshirt.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934. And certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Development and Events Committee meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 4:30 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Good morning. The time is 8 a.m. and you're listening to The Gap here on your local community radio station, KBOO Portland.
That's us.
That's.
Can you double check that I am all good over here?
You're all good. We can hear you.
Okay.
We, yes. No issues today.
Okay, great.
I was trying to think of like a fancier word for issue.
That's all right. And we're here, and we love that.
Yes, I'm here with the radiant Althea.
Oh, sorry, I didn't introduce myself. Althea, Tammy, we're here. Happy to be here this morning.
Happy to be here. Got our ducks in a row, in lines, in rows, geese, ducks, all sorts of avian.
Any kind of waterfowl, we're organizing them. So you have that to look forward to. This is, of course, The Gap.
This is... I don't know if I mentioned that yet.
I think you did say it, but hey, it's worth saying again. On KBOO Portland, talk radio Friday mornings, we like to do a two-parter type of show. Today we're doing a news roundup in our first half. Lots to discuss, not all of it great. And in the second half, we have our community questions. So look forward to around 8:30 giving us a call and chatting with us about our topic of the day.
Indeed. And before we get into it, we did finish our membership All Thrill No Frills fundraising special programming campaign. And we did it, guys. We did it. In the words of our VP, we did it, Joe. We did it. and we got a little bit over. But yeah, so shout out and big rounds of applauses to everyone. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you to all of our supporters and community members.
Yes. A lot. So we are here for another little bit at least.
Yeah.
And we are, so we can just go ahead and dive into our first part of the show. There are so many puns to be made about Ted cruising for a bruising.
Yeah. Sammy and I were really workshopping a lot of puns in preparation for this episode.
Yes, in the confirmation hearings for Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, Ted Cruz was really not. Ted Cruz was having the worst day. Actually, no, Lindsey Graham was having the worst day ever.
Yeah, Lindsey Graham was screaming, crying, and throwing up in the Senate chamber.
He was
on C-SPAN is what I wrote down as the joke.
C-SPAN got, it's like they're having the producers from the Bad Girls Club, dude. I don't know what's going on in C-SPAN. I'm there.
I think
here
it has
it.
To do with the Great Resignation. It's an employment crisis. That's why you got reality TV producers gassing up Lindsey Graham on C-SPAN. Like, we need something juicy. Okay, you need to cry. You need to storm out of the room.
He did storm out of the. I'm just imagining it. Oh, I'm here for the overhaul of that.
But here's another thing. You know, reality TV shows, a lot of times they have a quote-unquote on-set therapist that may or may not be credible. I feel like the Senate could use one of those. I'll say it.
At least like a meditation room or some sort of like just chill out, mellow out room.
Yeah.
At least CBD is something, you know? Some sort of non-psychoactive situation to help these fellas out.
Yeah, they got really too many nicotine patches on. I don't know.
They're just riled up. They're just, yeah.
Chugging Dr. Pepper on the Senate floor, by the way.
It's really sad to see these people become so visceral and upset during this hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that hearings are, like, I understand why they're doing this. It's mm-hmm. just, like, it's really, it's embarrassing. Like, I'm embarrassed for them. They're saying a lot of, like, especially Ted Cruzin for Bruzin is really, I think that he's trying to stop, like, I think that he lost a lot of clout with his supporters because after January 6th because he was because of like how he acted, and I think even before that too. I think he's been an easy target for a while.
What's his Lion Ted? Is that who he is to Trump? I was just trying to remember his little moniker.
Some sort of moniker.
Is he Sleepy?
No, so it's Sleepy Joe.
Sleepy Joe
or Sleep? Is that yeah? See, now I lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Well.
Oh, right. So he's trying to regain, the favors from his folks. And
mm-hmm.
He's basically doing it by just being, I would say, blatantly racist. And I noticed that the things that folks are picking up and the videos that are being circulated are more around Ted Cruz and for a reason. And the whole, are babies racist? And like his mm-hmm. whole like spiel about critical race theory and stuff. But
yeah.
There's a video that hasn't made, it's actually from his own, like, media outlet, like his own, press team video that they uploaded. And it's about a minute and a half, and I'd like to play this piece of audio.
Okay.
And then I'd like to talk about it a little bit. So, here it is, straight from the horse's mouth.
Cruz of Texas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Judge Jackson, congratulations on your nomination. 11,107 men and women have served as members of the House of Representatives. 1,994 men and women have served as members of the United States Senate. Only 115 men and women have served as Supreme Court justices. The position to which you have been nominated is extraordinarily important. And that is why the Senate is given the responsibility for advice and consent under the Constitution, because the job matters immensely. Supreme Court confirmations were not always controversial. In fact, Bushrod Washington, when nominated to the Supreme Court in 1798, was confirmed the very next day. So what changed? Well, what changed is starting in the 1960s and the 1970s, the Supreme Court's role in our society changed dramatically. The Supreme Court became a policy-making body rather than a merely judicial body. Just a moment ago, my colleague Senator Klobuchar said we should consider the Supreme Court's place in our democracy. Well, starting in the 60s and 70s, the Supreme Court decided its place in our democracy, at least too many justices, was to set aside the democratic decisions of the people and instead to mandate the policy outcomes they themselves supported.
And that was Ted Cruz in the remark that he had, I think he opened up with this for the Senate hearing. Now, there's a lot there that what I want to unpack about that minute and a half, which spoke like volumes and had, listen, if my dog was here, she'd be running around everywhere with all the dog whistles that I heard in that one.
Nice.
He said, back in 1798, what happened, man? In the good old days, man, we did this in and out.
You had to be a white guy with property if you wanted to be on the Supreme Court.
Basically, he said it wasn't until, oh my God, basically it wasn't until you know who started having rights in the 1960s. He literally said 60s and 70s. What happened in America 60s, 70s?
There's a specific.
I almost cursed. I'm so hyped up right now.
Yeah, there's a specific thing he's referring to, and that is, of course, the 1954 landmark decision, Brown versus Board of Education, that started forcing the South to desegregate. I think he threw in the 70s to try to get people riled up about Roe v. Wade. Another thing that I read recently, because of course there's a lot of coverage on this, is that like the idea of a confirmation hearing where they're like, open up the books, what are all the things that you've done, was not a thing until the first Jewish Supreme Court justice was being confirmed.
Shocker. Just, you know, this is
shock and awe, really.
I had to listen back. I said, he must have said, you know, 1998. Like, there's no way that he said, what happened, man? Since, you know, it wasn't until you people got around that all of this started getting difficult. It wasn't until equality that things started getting difficult.
It wasn't until the highest court in the land decided that, you know, we do have this document that makes all these promises and all of these laws that are just going against them. And this, you know, that is what the Supreme Court is supposed to do. You say, Supreme Court, you got to protect the Constitution. And they say, all right, we're on it. And they say, and then Congress, state legislatures, make a bunch of laws. And sometimes those laws are not constitutional or people think they're not. So they get sued. And those lawsuits work their way up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court decides, hey, does this violate the Constitution? And if it does, because the Constitution is the highest law of the land, that law would get struck down. And those legislative bodies then have, of course, as much power as they've always had to rewrite the laws, rework them. And we've seen how they've done that in the past to try to get around Supreme Court precedent.
We got to send you over to Teddy's house and make sure that he understands what this,
and right, because there is like it's called like an activist court because there were more progressive or liberal justices that were seeing that all of these, you know, the separate but equal doctrine, which the Supreme Court itself set forth.
Where's that quote from, all men are created equal? What was that from? Is that a Tupac line? I forgot. Where's that one from?
Yeah. Well, and here's the crazy thing. So much of it comes down to the 14th Amendment, which was passed in like the 1860s. You know, equal protection under the law. And people thought that was important, and it was so.
Well,
apparently,
a handful of people who thought that they can make decisions for everyone. And I'm not gonna try to, you know, and definitely I.
Ted Cruz is mad at the Constitution.
Yes,
not the Supreme Court.
It sounds like it. And this is literally this, like, he said this and then said, let's post this on the internet, and it was really jarring. And all the other, like, I don't know how folks are in like the. You know, folks that have more followers on the internet and just like on the media, like in the news, how is this? Like, you can't even. This is the most honest that I've heard a politician ever speak, you know, and mm-hmm. and obviously trying to flame up. And then following this with the whole CRT stuff and, yeah, like that whole kind of like almost creating, you know, Judge Brown as a, Judge Jackson as a, like the face of CRT or yeah. something. And it's really just so bizarre. Like they came in there with like blown up pictures of pages from Anti-Racist Baby. And it's like, what, are you okay? Like, what's going on with you? And to kind of like continue what you're saying, that's not the case now. Like there are more, I guess like conservative judges on there now.
Yeah, so that's the other thing.
This whole movement, this momentum to,
and like, you're there's a couple reasons where it's like, you know, these Republican senators screaming, crying, and throwing up, they didn't have to. And like going into the confirmation hearings, first of all, she would be, let's put it out into the world, when she gets confirmed, she'll be the first Black woman to serve on the Supreme Court. She's also the most qualified person to be on that court at this particular moment. And she's also replacing a liberal justice. So this isn't like changing the ideological balance of the Supreme Court. Trump rammed through three people, two of which definitely shouldn't have been on there. Neil Gorsuch gets a pass for the moment. That's just, I'm trying to, tough but fair. You know, that's what I try to bring here. They didn't need to do this. You know, it doesn't, it's not going to change their outcomes. And, you know, there was some people that were like, well, what even defense are they going to put up? Like, what are they even going to say to try to shut her down? And there's like these great compilations that just reveal, boy, even these senators don't really know what a judge does. And you see her just, her ability to sit. Yeah, the sigh, senator, sigh. Senator, like, I mean, I very much admire her tenacity to like sit through that with such composure, because, you know, they're trying to smear her and she's, well, of course I would respect the precedents of the Supreme Court. They're like, would you respect Roe v. Wade? And she's like, yeah, what do you mean respect? What does that mean? Respect it? You're trying to like get me on record that you're like, I would respect any Supreme Court president. That's how it works. And they're like, well, what would you do if someone told you a baby was racist? She would say, well, that's, I don't know when it would come up. It would be in the case that's in front of me, you know, like I would. And because like, obviously they disagree with her, or they think that she's going to be, you know, an obstacle to whatever policy they want the Supreme Court to make, mind you, not that the Supreme Court should never be making policy, but they don't want the Supreme Court making those kinds of policies, namely ones that would not restrict women's abortion rights or whatever. But anyway,
yes. And it's, I mean, so many things come to mind when, first, I think that, I don't know if Ted Cruz is trying to run for president again.
Oh, but I'm sure he is. We'll talk about the beard.
I don't even want to. All the secrets he keeps in there.
Tammy thinks he's growing a beard because he wants to be president.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, we can talk about the beard. I definitely think that they were like, listen, you are so unlikable, but we can do something about this. And then
grow a couple whiskers, it'll soften you. And then you yell at a woman. You yell at a woman about a book that she didn't write. Who knows if she even likes the book?
Ted Cruz, at least.
There's no relationship between her and the book. I just want to be really clear about that.
It's like me asking people if they read Twilight and then just trying to start a fight over it.
Is it just because we're in the Pacific Northwest? Very, very cool, Tammy. Wow.
Lindsey Graham was really having worst day ever, and he was it was just embarrassing.
The other funny thing, I don't even know if I remembered to mention this last night when we were prepping, Lindsey Graham also hates Ted Cruz. There's like a famous quote where Lindsey Graham said, if you shot Ted Cruz dead on the floor of the Senate and the trial was in the Senate, no one would convict you. Which is just how much people hate Ted Cruz.
Wow. I would file a complaint. That's a really strange thing to say at a workplace.
That is a tough thing to hear your coworker say.
I know, if
say.
A coworker said that, I'd be like, can someone talk? Like,
if someone murdered you here, no one would feel bad.
What? Who's that? Are you serious?
Yeah. No, oh that's real.
I hope Ted Cruz is learning
how
to self-defense.
I think that's genuinely, that's that's Lindsey Graham's legacy, is talking about how much people hate Ted Cruz. And people really do. It comes up every time he runs for office.
Hence the beard. So hence they did the beard, a couple of testing, not brainstorming,
focus groups.
And they figured that the beard would be the way to get him to be more likable. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like attacking a black woman who was, you know, in a nomination hearing, confirmation hearing is, I mean, it's like you get clout for this on the, you know, like, yeah, you know, that this is why politicians like do all these charades, you know, like, mm-hmm, it could have, I don't know, just the
Tucker Carlson will be happy for you. And that's what really matters, because he wears a bow tie. The other this is another one of our failed puns. I mean, we can get to our next topic in a second if you want, but this is kind of a failed pun, mm-hmm, but I want to say it anyway because I do think it's kind of funny.
Go for it.
Ted Cruz's Mission Impossible discrediting this extremely accomplished judge. You know, Ted Cruz like Tom Cruise. So we thought that was funny, but then I realized there's so many Mission Impossible movies. He's probably done the missions in those. Mm. And I don't think Ted Cruz will be successful. So that's why it's a failed pun.
Tom Cruise does his own stunts.
Yeah, impressive. He like shattered his pelvis or something, like jumping from a roof. That's well, showbiz, yeah, though, baby.
If Ted Cruz was in the Senate floor,
just imagine the hybrid of Todd Cruz with Tom Cruise and Ted Cruz. What sort of havoc he could wreak? Because it would be all of Ted Cruz's nastiness, but also he could like do flips and jump off stuff.
That's a villain. That's a villain. That's a villain. Bacon right there.
That is the menace that the Senate cannot abide.
The blown up poster sized pictures of anti-racist baby like just took me over the edge. I'm just like, who's, is this my money? I was like, did I pay taxes? Is this where this is going?
Yeah,
to?
Yeah.
I was angry.
He's like, if I went to a job interview, could I be an Asian man? And she's like, what?
And even who was it? Even Alan Dershowitz was
Alan
like,
Dershowitz,
what?
His former law professor, is like, I hope he didn't hear that from me. This is a really terrible take. Oh my gosh.
It's like when your mom was like, I didn't raise you like this. What are you doing?
I think it's funny. Ted Cruz does anything, and anybody who's ever associated with him, I really feel like this might reflect on me. So I just want to come out and say that I don't agree. Like do you remember like his roommate from college was like, yeah, oh, we do not like Ted Cruz.
And that's interesting because he mentioned Judge Jackson's roommate from college who introduced her, and he was trying to you'd be like, oh, and you know, I don't know, insert anti-racist baby, you know, hateful,
yeah,
stuff. Yeah, and I think it, I don't know, it's just, it's a really weird stuff. I mean, I don't know, Lindsey Graham, I just hope someone is, I hope someone's taking care of him, because, you know, he's...
He might need to, you know, spend a couple days in a...
People can retire, you know, like,
that's
it's okay
and,
to do.
And nobody talks about that.
You don't have to do this.
We've been talking, you know, about the great resignation, right? Let's talk about the great retirement. If you're old, if you're in the Senate, if you find yourself...
If you find yourself
beat red in the face, slamming on a desk, and you have to physically remove yourself from the floor of the U.S. Senate because you're so enraged that this accomplished woman is not letting you, like,
I think it just, he just
demean her.
He's just pissed that, like, she's in front of him. Like, I think they're just angry to see that. Like,
I think
it's destabilizing to their sensibilities, and that's why he literally threw a tantrum and, like,
he needs a nap, you know? Yeah. Send him out to pasture, but not in, like, the death way, in, like, a maybe go hang out on a ranch. Maybe if you saw some horses, it would bring you some peace. I don't know.
I would love that for myself.
Yeah, actually,
I would love
why
to go look
don't
that
let's
beautiful.
Don't give let's I take it back. Don't give that to Republican senators. Everybody else needs to go see a horse so we can cope.
This is Althea. We're really bringing down the house today. but yes, I think so. Now all the videos are they're all available online with the C-SPANs produced by the Bad Girls Club.
I love that.
VH1. I don't know what's happening there.
Reality TV producers need jobs too.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'm seeing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He said 1798. I'll never forget. That's like, I had like three times I had to listen to that.
Yeah. 60s and the 70s, when the Supreme Court decided people have rights and they should be able to vote and they can't be discriminated against at work.
Like, he sat, he sat there at his house and he, like, I wonder if he has a timeline.
Yeah.
And he's like, looking like the Zodiac killer, he's like, huh, I wonder when it all went down.
When it all went downhill.
He's like, by golly, I got it. It was the blacks and the women's and the Jews and the everyone else's.
And you know what else in the 60s and 70s? They started getting on the Supreme Court.
Oh,
not only did the Supreme Court give them rights, now they're on it and making decisions. Can you believe that? We got to go back to 1798.
It's like you weren't even born there, dude.
You were born... And there were, like, 100 people that were allowed to vote, and they all knew each other.
Dachlet, yeah, you're making it. That's...
That's...
You're digging it. You're digging somewhere, and you're reaching gold.
I mean, yeah. I think anybody that is yearning for the white guy club... Of ye olden days...
He said, that's
you better wish that they wrote a worse document. they wrote a constitution that unfortunately has some ideals because the constitution wrote how the Supreme Court was supposed to be. Although the whole judicial review part of it is actually a power that the Supreme Court gave itself. We don't need to get into that today.
I think you know a little bit more than Ted Cruz, so maybe we can...
I also just like don't like the
do
way
you
that
do
he's
tutoring?
Like... You know, send me an email.
Have you been to Texas?
I have not been to Texas.
He'll fly you out.
Do I want to go, though?
You know the question.
I hear they have great butter sculptures out there in Texas.
Mm.
There's that photo of him that went viral with him, like, standing thumbs up next to, like, a cow sculpted out of butter. And he's like, my girls would love this.
Oh, and was that before or after he left to go on vacation during when Texas had
the power outage?
The power outage and the grid.
Storms.
Yeah.
I think it was before.
Okay. Just making sure. I just wanted to make sure on the timeline.
Yeah. No, I think it's important to point out his faults. He's cruising for a bruising, as you said.
It's 1798 style.
Take me back to then.
Please go back to courting.
Why aren't we writing on parchment? Mm. What are these printers? Next, you're going to tell me we're using fax machines.
Why do we have so many states? What's going on?
So many states. So many people that don't look like me. I have a beard now, so I'm a man of the people, and I'm really like this beard is kind of a lot of effort for me to be connecting with people. And their lives, but I don't know how much more I can take.
I'm not trying to clap for the whole judicial system, the system and all, because it's all a bummer, but and oppressive and repressive. But this is just, I just felt like I really wanted to talk about this with you because it's mm-hmm. just so he's just cruising for a bruising and he got it.
Yeah.
1798. Do you want to go to our second part or do a...
Do you want me to do a quick mention?
Yes,
got, like,
please.
A couple mentions.
Please do.
Okay, yeah, we do have like a little bit of local news that I just wanted to highlight, which is that Prosper Portland, formerly the Portland Development Commission, may be considering putting an urban renewal district out in East Portland. There's some community groups that they're in like preliminary talks with. And... You know, it's interesting. There's definitely, we can link this Willamette Week article. Sophie Peel did a great job highlighting that Prosper Portland, couple things here. One, urban renewal areas go hand in hand with gentrification. Second, that Prosper Portland is running low on funds, so this could be helpful to them. And that Prosper Portland's, and can I just say, they did a rebrand, you know, because the PDC, the Portland Development Commission, everybody's like, wow, the Portland Development Commission sucks. Like, they did the gentrification. Their urban renewal areas are what pushed low-income and BIPOC folks out to East Portland in the first place. And, like, definitely 122nd.
They are obsessed.
Needs work, but the thing is, like... So like, urban renewal, basically they'll draw a line around an area and they'll say, this is blight.
And they made it, I'm looking at this, it's literally a red line. Like, really, guys?
Yeah, they, I mean, maybe tastefully could have picked a different color.
Different color. Yes, go ahead.
But
sorry.
Anyway, basically, they have it's something called a TIF district, a tax increment financing. I have had to try to understand this for other stories in the past, and it's quite difficult. But basically, it like is a way to borrow against like how much the property taxes are going to be worth in the future, because they're like, oh, we're gonna lift this community, this area up, so the property will be worth more. But it's like, what makes a property worth more, right?
And who benefits from it, and what benefits does that bring from in? It? Yeah.
And thinking about like, you know, what are the who are they trying to attract? What kind of businesses? That kind of thing. And yeah, I don't know. There's just a lot of different things that it can look like, in terms of like, you know, what improvements could be done to that area, and. It makes me a little bit angry that this is, like, still a thing, you know, that Prosper Portland is still a thing. But also, like, some of their recent projects have fallen through, so they are, like, pretty strapped for cash. They used to, like, be one of the best-funded city bureaus because they were doing this system of borrowing against future property taxes to... It basically, like, subsidize development, but it's, like, gentrifying development.
And but when we do it, it's a crime. Oh.
But yeah, I don't know. I think that there is, there's like some groups out there that are in preliminary talks, and like maybe if they get a strong decision making mechanism, like that they get to make the call the shots for Prosper Portland, essentially, that like there's a world in which it could work out. But they rebranded for a reason. They have a terrible, terrible reputation. And like the areas of the city that have been Prosper Portland, like the Pearl was a result of Prosper Portland. So yeah, trying to bring that same energy out to East Portland.
Wow, 122nd looking like the Pearl. I don't even want to think of that.
There's like so many other ways that investment in that area and like improve like Peabot, like
right, yeah.
And if you the road, maybe.
Oh my God, the roads. Yes, the pothole. Yeah.
There's just a lot of things that it could look like, and
well, but this they want it to look like a specific thing, you know?
Yeah, I just doesn't have to, like if you're interested in like, hey, this is kind of like, you know, like people drive way too fast on this street. Mm-hmm. Like there's we want it to be safer for the communities that live here. Like there's a lot of ways to tackle that other than creating another TIF district that funds a city bureau that hasn't had good outcomes for people in those, like doesn't have a good track record. And there's this financial incentive that in order for the bureau to keep going, they have to keep making urban renewal districts. They keep having to make places and call them blight. And as Bird of EDPA 2 said, blight means black. That is where that word, like the propaganda mm-hmm. of you know, further back in like the 60s and 70s and stuff was like prosperous black neighborhoods and like less prosperous ones alike were called blight as an excuse to, you know, use eminent domain and stuff to raise certain areas and try to gentrify them. And the other thing that I just wanted to mention was just like part of the there is no incentive structure necessarily in city government right now to support different areas of the city, like East Portland, for example, because we don't have districts. And that's something that the Charter Review Commission is, I think, most likely putting before voters this fall to try to fix that so that there would be like city councilors, probably a couple of them from whatever area they live in. And could actually push for advocacy policy, spending some money on things that impact particular areas of the city. So I just, something should be done. I don't think Prosper Portland doesn't need to be the one to do it. They have a terrible reputation in this regard. And, you know, having a community-led focus would be probably better.
By the time you're finished here, I tell you, you're going to... disassemble the whole single-handedly the whole commissioner style of governance here, and we have to get them on the show. I think folks
the commissioner style of government.
Yeah. Oh, not the not
like welcome the to
charter
our special
review. The people that are the charter.
This is a special episode where Althea takes the takes the charter the city commission structure to task. Just that would be a fun radio theater piece, maybe. I don't know.
It'll be a drama for sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's great. Thank you so much for bringing that to us and offering that. And we hopefully will cover that some more in the upcoming weeks and learn some more. I think we can go ahead to a musical break real quick.
Let's do it.
Awesome. This is The Gap on KBOO Portland. We'll be back in just a moment. Enjoy this song. Hello, we are back here on The Gap on KBOO Portland. We just listened to Fun Boy 3 with a cover of Our Lips Are Sealed.
Nice.
Yeah.
We're into our second half now, the part where folks can call in and chat with us. Just before we get to our topic, I want to make a reminder. Next week when we're on, April 1st is April Fool's Day. And I just want to put it out there that we might be a little sillier on that day. And if that's not for you, then that's totally fine. But just that we might be doing impressions next week, and I don't want to catch anybody off guard. I want you to be ready for it.
Yeah, it's difficult coming up on the heels of Amy Goodman.
Yeah.
You know.
Maybe she'll do a special episode of Democracy Now, you know.
Amy Sassy, I wouldn't doubt if she would.
When in Rome.
When in Rome. Speaking of Rome. Nice pivot. I don't know how.
I don't know what it means, but I'm excited to hear.
It wasn't a pivot, but it was a transition. Was it smooth? I don't know.
Okay.
Community question.
This is
the part where we ask you, the listener, a question and engage with you as a community over a beautiful and thought out, intentional question. And
don't hype it up that much.
Please. I mean, no. I think they're nice. You know, some days are better than others. But for today, we'd like to kind of talk with you about, since it is the last day, right? Or the last Friday.
Yeah, Friday.
Of International Women's Month.
Yes.
We want to talk about women's stuff.
Yeah.
Althea, would you like to introduce your question? Because you phrased it so beautifully.
Well, I do. I have a, can we play the clip?
Oh, yes,
yeah,
we
let
can.
Me tell you about this clip. So we're talking about women and aging and having bodies. And how they are received and perceived in our society.
Well, in 1789.
Don't threaten me with a good time. And we do have a little clip for you from two ladies that I enjoy their podcast very much, Ashley Hamilton and Claire Parker from Celebrity Memoir Book Club. These are from TikTok. It's a secret TikTok watch. Let's hear it.
I want to start a petition for entertainment news sites to come up with a new 6 captions. And so this says, did Anne Hathaway make a deal with the devil? She's literally aging backwards. She is not aging backwards. We've seen her grow up. We've seen her from the Princess Diaries to now. She looks older now than she did then. She looks great. But stop saying that people are aging backwards. Stop saying that, like, not aging is the top priority. She looks like a great 39. I don't understand the obsession with being like, wow, she could be 36 with a face like that.
But I feel like in the 2000s, in the age of anorexia, it was like a fight for women in the 3D. Like, women weren't allowed to have bodies and take up space. We weren't supposed to exist. We were just supposed to be like a straight line or whatever. And we got past that and we're like, of course women should be allowed to have bodies. They have to exist in space. But now the skincare trends are like women fighting for their right to exist in a 4D, you know what I mean? Like, they're not allowed to take up time, they're not allowed to age. And I feel like that's the next frontier of feminism, is being like, no, I'm allowed to have a body, and it's also allowed to, like, hurdle through time and age accordingly.
Got him.
Some interesting thoughts there. And we would love to hear your thoughts on all of this. please do give us a call, 503-231-8187.
I love that.
Yeah, what do you think about it, Tammy? Because I pulled the clip.
Well, I think about it. Oh, what I think. Well, since my birthday is coming up this weekend as well.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, there we go. That was good. That was good. Ooh, so many things come to mind. The first thing that comes to mind is how aging and looking a certain way and marrying and making children's and all this, all these things that somehow just got tacked on to certain people who have certain, I don't even know what. All of these, I think of like domestic pressures. And I think when I was younger, all of these domestic pressures were like, whether I wanted to or not in some way, I now I can kind of like look in hindsight.
Yeah.
It pressured me to do a lot of my decisions. And now as I'm older and I'm not even like, I like don't even want to say how old I am, but it doesn't even matter. But these domestic pressures and these molds have now become as though if you don't fit this mold, you failed at life. So it went from a domestic pressure to becoming the measuring cup of whether or not I'm an adult, whether or not I matter, whether or not I have a value as a woman. Because it's like, if you're over a certain age and you're single and you don't have these things to like proof as proof of, look, I'm quote unquote normal, or look, I'm quote unquote worthy. Girl, it's no, I'm tired. You know, it's too tiring. And I've wondered when, I don't know, like once you hit a certain threshold, I wonder if once I'm a certain age, like if, how will people start looking at me? And I noticed that after a certain age, like people didn't look at me differently. They just didn't, you know, which is, hey, good. Don't look at me. I don't want to talk to you. I'm good. I'll make friends with you if I want to.
Yeah.
But we'd love to hear your input around this. All folks who identify as anything, I guess. I'd like to hear all of this. 503-231-8187 is the phone number. And yes.
Yeah, the part, there's two things I want to highlight, one of which is the idea of existing in four dimensions, of having a body that is hurtling through time, and that is something that in no way can any of us control how time passes and how it, like, impacts our bodies. And it's interesting to think about, you know, like, what ideas or, like, what have I subconsciously ascribed to or like agreed is true compared to like what do I actually believe as it pertains to like aging and skincare. It's like, oh, you need this, put this acid on your skin, you need to be exfoliating these days, and no, don't pick your zits. It's like, I want to, you know what I mean? That's tangentially related. But yeah, like getting older shouldn't be like negative, and obviously like youth is great for particular reasons, but I think that, you know, I feel like there's this attitude that people are that are like okay with aging are like in denial or something, or that like, you know, people like, in the only reason you'd look forward to your birthday is hopefully you get a cool gift, you know. I mean, I think it was smart to put gifts on birthdays just because, you know, sometimes people get down about aging. It is nice. It's like, oh, new socks, tight. So I don't know. I just think that that's very interesting. And then the other thing I wanted to highlight was that I think it was like an E! News caption, which, like, obviously, like, not journalistic excellence over there, but that she did Anne Hathaway make a deal with the devil? like this thing which is not aging or aging gracefully or, like, you know, maintaining beauty and presentation, but for others, not for oneself, not like this is how I like to look. This is, and it's, I mean, it's certainly for celebrities, but I think for other people as well, like, that I have to present myself a certain way, I need to be beautiful because that's like attached to my worth. But then also to say that it's evil and unnatural in some way. It's like, she looks
too good.
She looks so good. She's 39. She could still be a little lady. She could play 35 with a face like that. It's just nutty. I mean, obviously, like, Hollywood has a very, like, warped perception of these things, but
that's a shame. And I think, like, aging is, I don't know, it's like, you, hopefully, you, gain a little bit more every year, like you just learn some more. And of course, like, what is, I don't know, you're as young as you feel. And I'm learning that the more I meet people, like I'm seeing, you know, 50-year-olds like skateboarding, you know, like it's just not, it's really, I think that a lot of it is, it's whatever you want it to be, really, you know?
Yeah.
And this idea that we have to hide, like, that we are existing, like, that we, like, you know, and it makes me think of all the things that catered towards women of blemishes, like, conceal your stretch marks that you, like, well, I made, I, what?
Yeah.
This is mine. I don't know. It's like, I, you know, it's, and it's a lot of pressure, unnecessary pressure. But
definitely.
Yeah.
If folks want to call in and chat with us about this, 503-231-8187 is the number. We're talking about women and aging and the pressures of time. And we would love to hear your thoughts. 503-231-8187.
And we have Sue on the line. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Awesome. We can hear you too.
This is the Salamander Saver.
Salamander Sue! Hi!
Hi. Comments about women and aging. Since I'm getting up there myself, and it's an interesting phenomenon that at a certain point in time you start to disappear. People don't see you anymore, and it's got its positives and its negatives, because you know when you're waiting there to at a clerk's desk and they go to the guy next to you and ignore you completely. Of course, it could be because I'm short, but it's just interesting. It's like, get on the bus and nobody sees you to give you a seat because they just don't see you. But as to some of the other things, I know, because I'm an older woman, I know a lot of older women. They are incredibly wise, so many of them. They should be running the world because they could do a better job than those people such as Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley. anyway, but as to take the whole thing of aging backwards, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it over again. And I don't need to attract the gaze. That's not what I'm after. I try to take care of myself for my health so that I can still do the things that I want to do, because that's the part of aging that is difficult for me, is what your body can't do anymore physically, because you know, you've put a lot of miles on it, and after a while, it kind of breaks down a little bit. But and as to skincare, that is an issue around cancer prevention, to me, anyway. And so I haven't always been kind to my skin, and as I get older, I realize that there's reasons that people do some of that stuff. So my dermatologist that I just went to for issues, you know, kind of brought that to mind. So it's not all about trying to get rid of the wrinkles. So just so you know, anyway, so take care of your skin, because the sun is not always our friend. Anyway.
Yeah, very true. You know, a sunscreen preventing skin cancer.
Yes.
Net good, I would say.
Yeah. And yeah, some of that moisturizing stuff is not all just frivolous, you know. It's a real thing. So
for sure.
Anyway, so I hope you both have really great aging experiences, because it's not all bad.
We appreciate that, Sue.
Thank you so much.
All right, you have a good day.
You too.
Salamander Sue. Bringing it home. I already wear sunscreen. Salamander Sue said so.
I'm wearing sunscreen right now.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
I ran out of the house without anything on my face.
Yeah, I have a moisturizer that I've been using since I was 14 years old.
Mm.
Same
one. It's done you well, I gotta say.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And sunscreen. Mm-hmm. My mom, she's obsessed with sunscreen, but her whole thing is like, oh, you're gonna get too black. You gotta protect yourself from the sun. But, I mean, you know. It did. I mean, I guess, you know, it did sound good. But I like that notion of doing things for yourself and not necessarily, because when, you know, aging backwards, it has this, you only hear that when it comes to like beauty, not necessarily, you know.
just thought of something.
You don't hear about it like, oh, look, this person is running like a 17-year-old, you know? Mm-hmm. These are like, oh, they look like a 17-year-old, you know? Like, it's never like, or they got the feet of a 40. Well, I don't know what I'm saying, but, you know.
The feet
like,
of a 40-year-old.
I don't know.
I want to title the episode that. Here's what I just thought of. The idea of women are kind of expected, or it's like, well, you should at least try to age backwards. But when it comes to men, they literally made a movie, a fictional movie, about how crazy that would be, called Benjamin Button. Okay? I got Tammy with that one. and that's what it, that's sexism, guys. If you weren't, E! News versus Benjamin, so farcical that a man would age in reverse.
Wow. Wow. No, that's this is the stuff.
This is the stuff. Yeah. If other folks want to call in, please do. 503-231-8187. Women, aging, bodies, hurtling through time. Please give us your thoughts. I thought of another thing, which is when I think about like aging, and it kind of goes to like one of the questions that we were tossing around as ideas for this week of like, how do you measure success? And mm-hmm. I think that there is an unconscious part of my brain that's like, well, do I look good today? Like, does my skin look nice? Is my hair good? Like, am I presenting whatever beauty I can to the world? And not in like a giving way and like, that's expected of me and I better do it. But something that I realized is like, because you were talking about like friendships and meeting people, like as I've had more like friends in my life of different generations, of older generations, because like, you know, growing up you have friends that are, you know, like that are like your classmates and stuff, and so, like aging processes, it's like, oh, we're sort of like hurtling through time in a similar way, like we're you know, people hit puberty or they're like, you know, whatever, and that the you know, those milestones are stacked up against each other because they're a similar age, but like developing friendships with people of all ages is first of all quite enriching, and two, like I think the conscious thing that I do subscribe to of like, you know, how do I measure success, how do I know that I'm on a path that I'm, you know, happy with, it's like I think about like, what sort of old person do I want to be, you know, what kind of stories do I want to be able to tell friends that I make in the future sometime down the line.
Oh, I like that, yeah.
And I feel like I'm going to be a cool old person.
Oh,
and I feel like that's going to be...
everyone about Kavu.
It's going to be cool.
You just wait. In 1780, no, I'm kidding. And we do have Francis on the line. Francis, can you hear us?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing all right.
Thank you for calling.
I've been thinking about aging a lot lately. I'm 73 years old, and my heart is deciding to getting a little tired, and I guess you'd say I'm young at heart. I ran into a friend of mine that I had met in college. He's 73 also, and I asked him how he was doing. He said, I feel like I'm 23, but my body doesn't think so. But, and that's kind of the way I'm at, you know. I forget how old I am sometimes. And I like that I don't remember how old I am, because I feel that there's a lot of ageism in our society, more than I realized until I became this age. And unfortunately, a lot of young people dismiss the elderly, and I wish they'd listen a little bit. What's disheartening to me is the fact that I can remember in the 70s protesting war and thinking we were doing something, thinking we were changing the world, only to find out that now, today, the same stuff's going on, and it hasn't changed much at all. I think my theme song would be the song Way of the World by Earth, Wind, and Fire. I think we need to recognize the humanity in everybody and stop being so superficial about things. I was thinking yesterday about, if you give me a moment here, about women mm-hmm. who age. And I was thinking about the passing of Madeleine Albright and how everyone is singing her praises. And she was the first woman Secretary of State. But what I recall about her is when someone asked her about the 500,000 children who had died in Iraq as a result of our bombings and sanctions and everything. And she pretty much indicated that although it was difficult, it was something that was worth it. And then years later, I recall her supporting Hillary Clinton for president and making the statement that there's a special place in hell for women who don't support or help out other women. So I was thinking about all the women in Iraq who were totally dismissed in her statement, which later she apologized for, but the statement had already been made. And with how she was not supporting them. And I hope that woman was able to avoid that special place that she was talking about when she passed. I hope you understand what I'm saying here. To me, to be a woman is to be a woman. And the superficial stuff gets old after a while. It's, you know, we all have a little bit of vanity in us. But what's important is what right now is what's happening to the children and what's going on for the children right now. And I don't think that our priorities are straight. You know, all this war stuff, it's like, to me, it's just antiquated and absurd and ridiculous. It's, you know, the paradigm needs to shift. To me, the paradigm should be about perhaps maybe who can make children the happiest. That might be a good goal to have, you know, like instead of the short-term profits from selling guns might switch over to long-term profits from sustainable development and avoiding trauma.
Oh yes, there's definitely a lot of things that we can reshift. We do have a couple more callers on the line, but we really appreciate your call and your perspective.
Care. Thank you for answering.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Appreciate it. We got some great advice there.
Yeah.
And we also have Danga on the line. Are you still with us? Can you hear us?
Who's this?
Yes, you are on the line with Kebu here. Danga, can you hear us from Salem?
Oh, Danga, yes.
Danga, excuse me, sorry.
That's okay. Yes, Salamander Sue, I think it was on your show just moments ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking about very real issues. And one of the things that hit me was that I was going to ask you, did you think she was really talking about being seen? I mean, those two words are pretty deep. And she then talked about the issue of skin. But I wonder, do you think she was really talking more about being seen than moisturizing skin? Because after she finished talking, spent a little bit of time talking about that, but I think you might have missed the deeper issue about being seen and aging in women at that point. And that might be something to explore at a later date, because it's certainly more important than, I think, the moisturizing issue.
For sure.
And the other thing is, I'm not sure what the age spectrum is on the actual panel of those of you who are on the panel, whether it extends past the 70s or not. I wonder about that, too.
Well, people are just calling in and giving their perspectives, so it's just a call-in show. But we appreciate that, and we will expand on the whole idea of being seen. And there's one more person ahead after you, and we have about a minute left.
The panel, the age spectrum of your panel, what was I asking?
Oh, both of us were born after the 70s. But we do appreciate you calling
Thank you so much for reinforcing
Salamander Sue's point about being seen. We are coming up on the end. We're going to fit one more caller in.
Yes, we have hopefully Camillo on the line. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yes, we got about a minute left for you.
That notion about being seen, I think it is really at the core of the problem of the way the question has been put. So the view of aging from people who are not really old or who are, you know, beginning to transition is really different from the people who are really old, like I am, 80.
And that's why we love this perspective of yours. So that's why we opened up the phone lines for that.
Yeah. So I organized a group of aging people when I turned 77, and that was 3 years ago, and we're still meeting monthly, and I'm in some other Zoom groups that meet to deal with various issues, and old people don't worry about those things. You know, we don't really care so much about how we look. We're not trying to attract anybody. That's long gone. But we do care about each other. We do care about how we're doing. We do care about the extent to which we're able to still be creative and to be engaged in the world. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the issues, because as you know, previous caller was saying, as you get older, there's less that you're capable of doing. But in terms of those attitudes about staying young looking and being attractive and all that, that's really not meaningful in terms of people who are truly older than those who are anxious about what it's going to be like.
Yeah,
that's a good perspective.
Well,
Thank you,
really
Camilla.
Appreciate you calling, Camilla. We are just about out of time here on The Gap. I think we'll have to revisit this idea of aging and being seen sometime in the future. We really appreciate everybody calling. Wear your sunscreen. You don't owe beauty to anybody.
Not at all.
We'll see you next week.
Yes, coming up next is Arab Voices. Be kind to one another. We are all
and yourselves
got for sure-sies. See you next time.
Bye.